Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Jude, beginning with verse 10. Jude chapter 1, beginning with verse 10, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Have you ever been accused of being stiff-necked, headstrong? Perhaps you've had the experience of riding a horse. Not a pleasant experience when that horse gets the bit in its teeth. You no longer have control. Now imagine that horse beginning to criticize you and your riding abilities. Are you ahead of me in where we're going today? Woe to them, verse 11. For they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. I have written on the marquee, You're known by the company you keep. Avoid Cain, Balaam, and Korah. As Jude in his writing describes now that which is the antithesis of the faithful and the righteous, he goes into more examples of those who have been in the past setting an example of disobedience and the result of their lives. And he goes clear back to the beginning, doesn't he? To the first family with Cain. And then he goes into the history of the children of Israel with the prophet of God named Balaam. And then finally, at least in his listing here, Korah actually happens before Balaam. He goes to one who opposed Moses and Aaron taking on the leadership of the children of Israel, Korah. So we're going to capitalize on those three examples that Jude gives us, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. They are like hidden reefs, Jude says. What is a hidden reef? I'm not as familiar with things of the water, especially of the ocean, of the coastline. But Albert and Barnes writes this in their commentary. Hidden reefs are like rocks to the mariner. As those rocks were the cause of shipwreck, so these false teachers caused others to make shipwreck of their faith. They were as dangerous in the church as hidden rocks are in the ocean. So a hidden reef is a series of rocks just below the surface that if aren't known about or charted, and an unsuspecting captain brings his ship over them, they, at the very least, ground the ship, but the thought is they rip out the bottom of the ship so that it sinks. So are men like Cain, Balaam, and Korah. They are the ungodly. And if you look at this entire portion, starting with verse 10 and then going down through especially verses 15 and 16. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Rather than trust God, they become ungodly. And we'll look at Enoch's passage here toward the end of the lesson, the ungodly, ungodly, the ungodly, mentioned over and over again. But rather than trust God, they are creatures of instinct, doing that which comes naturally. And if you think about it, that's being an animal. And animals don't get college degrees, do they? It's sad when humans act upon instinct. And that includes acting upon what you think rather than upon what God says. And these are three horrible examples of men who constitute the ungodly. They basically define it. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Cain, acting upon the instinct of jealousy and envy. Balaam, acting upon the instinct of lust for wealth. Korah, acting upon the instinct of lust for power. Envy, jealousy, a desire to be rich, and a desire for power. Do those things still play a part in men's lives today? To say the least, we have a hard time learning our lesson, don't we? Let's go first to Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, we find Cain and Abel, brothers, sons of Adam and Eve, offering sacrifice to the Lord. Abel offers a lamb. Cain offers the fruit of the ground. Cain offered that which he grew. Abel offered not only that which he was the shepherd of, but also what God had commanded. And it says that God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but not with Cain. And rather than repent, what does Cain do? He sulks. God visits Cain. It's recorded for us in Genesis 4 and verse 7. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God said to Cain, if you'll just turn your behavior around, your countenance will lift. But right now, you're in a position where you're susceptible to the temptations of Satan. And in fact, like a lion, he's crouching, ready to devour you. Cain didn't listen to the counsel of God, did he? Instead of taking correction or heeding the warning, his heart turned against his brother. And what did Cain do? He took a rock and crushed his brother's head. He slew him. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, describing not just Cain, but all sinners. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Creatures of instinct. Cain knew what kind of sacrifice God had stipulated, refused to do it. Then he ignored God's counsel, and instead, because of his envy and jealousy for his brother, he yielded to instinctively to do that which was wrong. Even in the New Testament, 2 Peter 2:12, they're like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed. When man heeds God, he rises above his basic nature. Ungodliness is a curse that will condemn. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Such company to avoid. Balaam is a unique kind of character, and we can find his story in the book of Numbers. And if you go to Numbers chapter 22, you find that Balaam has been prophesying for God, but he is not of the children of Israel. He's separate and apart from the children of Israel who have come into the land. And yet he's known by his neighbors and by his nearby countrymen that he is a prophet of God. So that whenever the children of Israel who come in like a horde, a swarm, are seen by the king of Moab, whose name is Balak, and that's awfully similar to Balaam, isn't it? I just remember the difference between the two because Balak ends with a K and that he's the king, and Balaam ends with an M and he's mule-headed, and which happens to be the name of our lesson this morning, mule-headed, strong-willed, stiff-necked. But as Balak, the king of Moab, sees this horde coming in, he petitions Balaam to curse this people. And I think it's interesting to see that Balak has a sense of the power of divinity and has a belief that if Balaam but does his bidding, he will be able to conquer this horde that's coming into the land. Well, he sends emissaries to Balaam, and Balaam says, well, give me a chance to talk with God. Well, these emissaries also come with wealth. And that evidently already is working upon Balaam's psyche, because God's pretty clear when he talks to Balaam and answers his question about whether he should go and curse this people. Who are these people? Well, it's Israel. It's simply God's own. And it's recorded for us in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12. God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. That should be the end of the story. Balaam comes out and he tells the king's emissaries, he says, God has told me I can't curse them. That's that. They go home and tell the king, and the king ups the ante. Now remember what it's recorded for us here in Jude about Balaam. And for pay they have rushed headlong into error, to the error of Balaam. As Cain was controlled by his jealousy and envy, so Balaam is being controlled by his lust for wealth. God has told him no, but he begins to see an opportunity here to turn a dollar. This is also in Numbers 22. It says in verse 17, as Balak talks to Balaam, he says, for I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me. Well, God has already given Balaam his answer, and yet Balaam is still listening to petitions. And he says to the king, let me go check with God again. Verse 20 of Numbers 22. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. I don't know if God was being sarcastic as he talked to Balaam, but Balaam has gone from being God's spokesman and God's prophet to trying to use the miraculous power that he has to his own personal advantage. And God says, go with them. But you only say what I tell you to say. Verse 22, however, records this, but God was angry because he was going. And then results the story that we learned even as children about Balaam riding his mule. And as he rides his mule along, the mule begins to balk, first in the open area of the countryside, and Balaam beats his mule. The mule sees something that Balaam doesn't see. He gets into a tight situation where there's rocks on either side, and he crushes the foot of Balaam against the side of the rock. Finally, he gets into another area, and the mule just lays down on Balaam. All the while, Balaam is beating him with a stick. Verse 28 reveals in Numbers 22, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?' Then the eyes of Balaam are opened, and he sees the angel standing with the sword in the path that the mule has seen all along." It's not a compliment for your mule to be smarter than you, but I have heard that mules are awfully smart animals. What's God doing? Even as Balaam goes on his way, God is sending him clear signals. You're not doing what I told you to do at the first. Remember how God started this out? Verse 12, "God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.'" Balaam goes on in spite of all of this, and three times he is bidden by Balak to stand over sacrifice and to curse the people. And all three times, rather than curse them, Balaam blesses them. But we have something very interesting recorded for us in Numbers 31. Whenever Israel becomes victorious, the efforts of Balak are to no avail. In verse 8 of Numbers 31, "The children of Israel killed the kings of Midian along with the rest of their slain, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, and the five kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword." And then we're told in verse 16, "Behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam." And what we're about to discover is that Balaam found a way to curse the people. Not overtly. Now, he's paid the penalty for even this by being slain by Israel. He has declared himself to be one whose instinct is to be wealthy rather than to honor God. And what Balaam counseled was fornication and immorality. "Behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, so that the plague was among the congregation of the Lord." And ultimately, a great multitude of Israel was slain because the Midianites introduced fornication into the camps of Israel. Satan has his ways, doesn't he? Do not go the way of Cain. Do not be bought off like Balaam. Jesus says simply in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Would we ever be swayed by dreams of getting rich to forsake the way of the Lord? "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Also in Numbers, a few chapters earlier, Numbers 16, we have a Levite by the name of Korah who challenges the authority of Moses and Aaron. Korah doesn't want to be beneath them. And so he has a lust for power. And it's recorded for us that as he challenged Aaron and Moses, that he proclaimed himself and his family to also have rights to be those who lead the people. It's a very sad story that takes place there in Numbers 16. Ultimately, what happens to Korah and to his family? The earth literally opens up. The children of Israel are told to get away from the household of Korah. he and his family are standing there, and the earth swallows them alive. And it says they went alive into Sheol. A lust for power? Well, it was thwarted by God miraculously. Then fire comes down from heaven and consumes the 250 men who were burning incense with bronze. That bronze then, after the men perish, is beaten and flattened and becomes a covering for the altar as a reminder to the people about rebelling against God. That's in Number 16, verse 35. And then finally, a plague comes upon those who are persisting in challenging the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And in verse 49 of Number 16, it says, 14,700 of the rebellious Israelites were slain by the plague. Costly, isn't it? On the day of judgment, the majority will have failed to honor God. Woe to them. What is Jude reminding us of? To stand firm in the faith. Jude has told us that we are to contend for the faith, that we are to be ones who honor what God has said. Contend earnestly for the faith, verse 3, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Our last example is a good one. We've had Cain and Balaam and Korah, and now we go back clear almost to the beginning, after the time of Cain, to the seventh generation of Adam. And it says that there was a man named Enoch. And Enoch was a man who walked with God. What else do you know about Enoch? Well, I can remember that he lived the same number of years as there are days in a year. He was 365 years old when he died. But he basically was one who honored God, and it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful way to leave this world in God's embrace. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If you want to find this, it's in Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah, by the way, dies in the same year as the flood. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Verse 24 of Genesis 5. But what we have recorded for us here is a mystery to us. Jude says that Enoch wrote about the ungodly. And his diatribe is redundant with this concept of the ungodly. Starting with verse 14, back to Jude. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all of their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. The writings of Enoch. This is what we have of them. Enoch, a godly man, saying what about the ungodly? You ever been accused of being stiff-necked? Mule-headed? Instinctively doing that which you feel is right but is contrary to the will of God? Like Cain, acting upon jealousy and envy? Like Balaam? In your lust for wealth, disobeying God, like Korah, in your lust for power, challenging the authorities that are, what would God have us to do? Contend for the faith earnestly. Walk in His way. Avoid the company of the ungodly. Cease to grumble and complain and following after your own lusts. Instead, be humble, especially in your relationship to your heavenly Father. In whose company are you keeping yourself? Turn with me to hymn number 971. God works in mysterious ways to accomplish His will, sometimes even in times of distress or trial. We can learn much. 971. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His Word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. All the saints of God are gathering home. It's a contrast, isn't it? Saints are the sanctified, the ones who have been set aside, the ones who seek the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The ungodly, they're instinctive. They follow their passions, whether it's jealousy and envy, a lust for wealth, or a lust for power. Whose company do you find yourself in? Avoid the company of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Don't be mule-headed.